Well, good evening, race fans. Welcome to Tuesday night. It's 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and this is Greg Race from the Sim Racing Podcast, and we have a new league podcast for you tonight called the Burn 'Em Down Podcast, and the podcast for the Rolling Thunder Racing Series. You can listen to this podcast every Tuesday night live on Twitch at 8 p.m., and then right after the podcast, we upload immediately to YouTube. And the video also stays for about 2 weeks on Twitch. And the video and audio gets loaded to Spotify and then a bunch of other podcast platforms, including TuneIn, Google, Amazon Podcast, and pretty soon Sirius XM. You can catch us live on twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. Subscribe, and you can see that podcast there as well as the other ones I do for the Cool Down Lap for Midwest Motorsports, and then the Sim Racing Podcast, where we just bring in sim racing people and NASCAR people. We've had Justin Clapper, the tire changer for Zane Smith, was on right after they won the truck championship. We've had some former NASCAR officials, Xfinity drivers, but it's mostly iRacing drivers, regular Joes like me, and everybody else who gets on just to have a good time. So we have some guests tonight, as we will every week. We'll try to interview the winners from the prior week's race. Tonight, we have our special guest tonight on the driver's spotlight, the winner from this week's Daytona race, Jason Mainz, and second place winner, Randy Nichols. Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good, are you?
Not too bad. So, Jason, you won at Daytona. So tell me about that race, because from what I understand, there were not too many cautions during that race.
Yeah, it was just more, you know, keep yourself clean earlier. See who, you know, see who's going to use the tires up a little bit more than others. Just try to gain information on the drivers around you and what to expect. And then, you know, and we had a strategy in mind, and I think we were pretty much the only ones that did that. And it worked out. I mean, everything had to line up, and it did. We just needed to execute, take care of our own stuff, and we did that. And then at the end, it played out because we basically split the field, and then the tire wear kicked in. So it worked out well.
Cool. So where did you qualify? Where'd you end up at the start of the race?
You know, I don't even remember. Honestly, I was trying to get another one of our team members trying to make it home in time. So I didn't even get out there in time to actually get the pole qualifying in. So I wasn't really worried about that because even if I qualified on the pole, my strategy was the same. So, it was probably 20th or something like that. I don't quite remember that.
Oh, so you did a pretty good job catching up there. And, what was your margin of victory?
I think it was like 2 or 3 thousandths or 200ths of a second, something like that. So it was close. There's a lot of stuff happened on the last lap. There was a wreck coming off of turn 4, and kind of at that point, the momentum kind of shifted. And it takes about another, you know, half a lap or so to get that momentum going back up. So it changed it a little bit, but had it been probably another quarter straightaway or something like that, it probably have been different because it's all about that momentum.
That's true.
Other than that, it was, I've seen closer Daytona finishes. I mean, it was close, don't get me wrong, but I've had several times where we've been tied to the thousands. And his question was,
oh, wow,
who were they giving the win to?
Exactly. Randy Nichols, you finished in second place. How would you describe your race? And if it was that close at the end, did you think you might have crossed first?
Well, the race itself was, it was very tame, which I was actually pretty happy that it was, because typically when it's Daytona or Talladega, everyone's trying to be the next Pied Piper, Dale Jr., Joey Logano, Clay Racing. So it was pretty tame for the most part. Wasn't too sure how it was going to play out. Coming down the line though, at the finish, I knew Jason was still just ahead of me. I really didn't have any help. And so I wanted to try to side draft, but at the same time, last thing I wanted to do was make contact and have there be an incident right there at the finish. And so, he edged me out, but I'm not upset about it. Like it was a good race right there at the end.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what was your strategy going in, and where did you qualify in the field? Something's going on. My internet is pretty slammed. That's 1, 2, 3. I'm back. Something happened. There's a big slowdown in my reason. Sorry about that.
You're good. I was telling him that it was like you were stuttering the whole time. It was hard for me to, and there was a huge delay, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, there was. I haven't had that problem before, so we're back now.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a little bit of stuttering, staticky, but yeah, you're good.
All right. So, Randy, so how was your qualifying run for the race?
Qualifying was okay. I don't know how we set the weather set up for the race, but it felt like it just kind of dogging down coming out of turn four. Usually you can kind of tell on the edge of that corner if you're gonna have a good lap or not, but I could just hear the RPM kind of dropping, and I didn't really expect to qualify very well, but I was pretty happy I still be in the top 10, but yeah, I don't know what it was with my qualifying run. I couldn't carry the speed over from practice.
So how soon was it before you were back running up front? Can you guys hear me on this one?
I hear you now.
Yeah. All right. So I'm on a different one here. I had to jump off the PC and get onto the iPad. So should be better now. So
yeah, it's much clearer.
Got it. Strange. So how soon was it before, after you said you didn't qualify well, before you thought you were going to be in the hunt for a while?
Well, it was just like I said, that car, that's one thing. I don't really run that car. So, but I've run it, I think, two times in the past, and I knew tires mattered. And at the race, which I was super, like Nichols, I was very happy that it was clean. But some people drive harder than others, and tire wear does matter. And so I've done a lot of plate racing, and it just doesn't pay to be up there. It just doesn't. You know, if you get up there and a mistake happens, you know, you're done. And so we just race at the end. And at that point, the people have executed on pit road and stuff like that. That's who you're going to be up there with anyway. And then you halt after, you know, 90 laps or close to 90 laps. You know, people figured out what they can and can't do, because that car, you know, you can't push in the corners. Yeah. If you do, you better practice it with the people you're pushing. because you got to know where they're going to be on the track. And that's a lot to do with plate racing. So, you know, it's just keeping those clean. And I've worked with Daniel and Dylan a lot. So, you know, I knew we could push back up there if we needed to. We just didn't want to get up in the middle of it. And that's, like I said, we had a strategy and we just stuck to that. We were racing the actual race and not really the competitors at that point.
Interesting, because the general consensus is that tire wear is not as big a deal on a super speedway as it is on, let's say, like Charlotte or a short course. So you had to put a lot of emphasis on tire wear.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. So compared to them, yeah, it's not as much. But the two races I've run around before on this, I had taken tires before, and we drove around the third lane like they were tied to the tree. So, and what happens is once they get those right sides hot, yeah, you know, they can go in and they still are there. But what happens is that you get the aero side kicked in. So when it gets into drafting, the more you're in that, you got your nose in that dirty air, the more the lack of downforce you have in the front per se. So now you're having, you're pushing, and now you're having to put more wheel in it. And as you put more wheel in it, now you're heating the rears up. And that split second of delay that you have to think about that or throttle it down just a touch, I'm not having to do that, you know? And so that's where the tires come in to play a lot. So, I mean, I've done it to where you go down in flat foot, and then all of a sudden you pay the price. Oh, you know, wow. But it has to be a clean race to pay. And that's why I like the long races, because typically just it breaks down or breaks away different groups from each other. And at that point, you can go in and you've narrowed it down to, instead of 30 cars, you're down to 10, you know, and yep. Then those 10, it's a little bit more room to race, if that makes sense.
No, definitely does. So let's start some background on racing history. When did you guys get involved in iRacing? How did you understand?
For me, well, I started racing, it was way before iRacing, so I'm 52. So I started back in the NASCAR 3 days, and I was racing with Dale Jr. on the 10 Racing Network when I think he was either 12, maybe he was 14.
Oh, wow.
And that's when he met, if I remember correctly, that's where he met his spotter, who's now Keselowski's spotter, TJ Majors.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so, and that's where it all started. And when Junior would jump on, his name was Dale Jr. 8, if I remember correctly. And those servers would fill up so fast because everybody's trying to get in a race with them.
Oh, yeah.
And then it progressed from there to NASCAR 2003. And that's when the Sim stuff really started to take off. But you didn't have, you know, not everybody had high speed internet, you know, so you really had some connection issues there.
Yep.
But NASCAR was really involved then. So we ran, it was the NASCAR Racing Series. I still have the actual lease downstairs, but they had a fixed setup section and an open setup, kind of like iRacing does. And I think it was like 50, back then, I mean, it was like 15,000 people in the fixed, and you had to make it all the way down to like, I think the top 30 or something.
Oh, wow.
And I did that. I ended up finishing eighth overall. And so that was a big deal. And then that's when, like I said, Junior just became more and more involved.
Yeah.
And it jumped over to OLR, online racing. And Junior was involved in, I won't say he was involved, but he was obviously racing on there. So we did LAN events. And I'd won both the LAN events. And then iRacing came around. And so I got on it at first. And, you know, you didn't have the stuff that you have today. I mean,
exactly.
It was just different.
Yeah.
And I did it probably from when I was, I started when I was 18, and then when it got to iRacing, I was probably in my 30s. And Garrett hadn't been born yet. So I raced all the time with, you know, I raced carts up and down the East Coast, and then I did as a business flying around helping kids around the country. And then Garrett, I got him into kart racing when he was 5 and really picked it up when he was 10 and did some other forms of racing with him, and then got him on a sub. And that's when I retired from racing outside and just concentrated on him. And now it's the role reversal. So now he's the one that's got the most experience with today's stuff. And, you know, he's at a different level than I am. You know, so it's my way of getting to race with him
so cool.
When I didn't get to do it in real life.
Gotcha. Randy, what about your history with racing?
So my racing history with the whole gaming actually started back, I can't remember what year, it was like 94, 95 with the first installation of the Papyrus NASCAR Racing on PC.
Oh, I remember Papyrus. That name goes back like a long ways. Yeah.
5 years old, 6 years old. And,
wow.
I mean, had the wheel that only went like a max of 45 degrees and just kind of stayed on PC. And, you know, my dad, like, you know, he basically got me NASCAR 2, 3, you know, 4, whatever. I can't remember the exact numbers, you know, with the names of the games, but I mean, I basically just kind of raced offline. I mean, I was a child. So, racing against the PC or the AI, it's kind of like a whole generational shift for game change. And I just kind of stayed on the PlayStation, racing Gran Turismo with my dad and F1 games, some of the NASCAR games. But I wasn't very hardcore dedicated to it. And so the great pandemic of 2020, when I think about half of iRacing's members right now.
Yep.
And so this is starting 2020 when I actually really got immersed into sim racing, and then did a stint with Elite Performance Industries for about a year. Became a house driver, won an open Xfinity Series Championship in the second division. But I mean, I was racing a bunch of Division One guys for a good while, but that's pretty much my background in racing.
Ah, cool. So you said just about half of iRacing came around during the pandemic, and about 90% of my guests on the podcast are from the pandemic time. So that definitely makes some sense. Randy, any real life racing history?
No, zero. Just your normal go to a local go-kart track. You know, like I was telling you earlier, I'm from the DFW part of North Texas, and we have a go-kart track just east of Dallas by about 30 minutes called the Dallas Karting Complex. And they would actually have a legit ship-a-cart track where they would have like regional championships. And so you could go out there, if you run a certain lap time, you can get promoted in the faster cars. So it got to the point where I was still fast enough to actually, have access to an actual shifter car to race around there.
Yep.
Took part in one weekend where they were having a bunch of races and, you know, one race out there, but it wasn't anything beyond that.
Yep. Same here. Dirt tracks. My uncle's in South Carolina, trying to convince my father to let them have his 72 Impala with a 400 underneath it to drive at the local drag strip where you could race the family car on a Saturday night. So, yeah, that's about it. And watching only partial Daytona and NASCAR races during this strange show called ABC's Wild World of Sports back in the 70s.
So
that's about it.
Gosh.
Yeah. So check out the weekly points for this week. Or, I don't know, do this every week. It's the Rolling Thunder Racing Series points update on the Burn 'Em Down podcast. And yes, this is a new podcast I'm doing for Rolling Thunder Racing Series. On them, you can look them up online at rollingracingseries.com. They race Gen 4 cars. They do monthly money races, which we'll talk about shortly. We're going to go to standings after week one, and first place after this week is, yes, the Jason Manns with 46 points, one win. Second place is Randy Nichols with 6 points. Third place is Luke Smith, point behind after 35. It's going to be pretty close for the first couple of weeks, especially after week one. Seth Reed, fourth place at 34 points. Balastros is tied with 33 points. Scott Crump, he has 33 points. Daniel Eberhardt III, with my bad glasses, I almost thought that said Earnhardt, but...
I thought he said that for a long time.
There you go. He's in P7 with 31, and 2 points behind him is Jared Mogarden with 29. Matthew Robinson, eight points, is nine, rounding out the top 10. Bo Tiffany at 27. P11, Trevor Williams with 26. Gagliano in P12 with 25 points. Michael Larch in 13.5. Jacob Manning in 4 points. Jason Tamer, 23.15. It is Ryan Johnson with 22 points. 17th place is held down by Dylan Jones with 20 points. P18 is Jordan Barubi with 19 points. Lane Doyle in P19, 18 points. 20th is Matthew Molnar with 17 points. One is Joshua Seuss with 16 points. Erwin Hansen in P15. 23rd is Brenton Barker with 14 points. 25 through 27th. 24 through 27th. Sean Corcoran, John Ellis Jr., Greg Olenek, and Jared Haynes with 0 points. Next week, guys, are going to be week two at Las Vegas. That's on Sunday, October 8th. It'll be 140 laps, 75% fuel. 3 sets of tires, 1 on the car, 2 in the pit box, 1 green-white checker. And kind of like the old-style Winston Cup-style racing, restarts lead car laps will be outside lap cars to the bottom. Bobby open at 7:30 p.m. Flag will drop up at 30. So, guys, what are your plans for Las Vegas for next week?
You go ahead and take your question. I'll tell you what.
Guys, stealing.
My plan isn't just kind of right around there. I mean, it's the track is bumpy as hell going through 1 and 2. And so I think the biggest thing is to maintain your tires and not be bouncing around between the lanes. And like I said, just don't burn them off and try to avoid some trouble, because I think a lot of people have struggles with the transition from the big part of the trial bowl down to the flat and then back up onto the banking. I think that's going to be probably one of the trouble spots. So just kind of keep my eyes peeled for that area. But other than that, just hope to have a clean race.
So at 140 laps and only 3 sets of tires, you really got to be careful on tire management on that course, don't you?
Very much so. And I think the biggest thing is going into this league is obviously this is the ARCA car, but it's the Gen 4 with the Gen 4 horsepower. So I think one of the things is a lot of people are still stuck in that mindset of running the Gen 6 now next gen car with all that downforce, not a lot of power. So I think people are still having to kind of not relearn, but learning how to drive on mobile, it feels like.
Yeah.
You see that every week in either official races or hosted races where you got guys that are insanely quick, and then 2 laps later, they are spinning out in front of you.
Exactly. What do you think of the 87s? Have you given them a try?
87s are fun. I did the iRacing Winter Series, back at the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun because I was actually on the Wednesday night iRacing broadcast those races, and obviously racing against some of the big name drivers, a couple of the iRacing staff. It was a lot of fun. You really had to manage your tires. But when we got to Darlington, that was the first time I've ever blown a tire on track, and it scared the hell out of me. So I didn't know what happened.
That's funny.
Now, do you race with triples, a single screen, or VR?
I have a 49-inch curved ultra wide.
I was looking at that. How do you like? How do you like that curve?
I like it. I mean, it's better than what I had before, which was like just a 27-inch.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people prefer to have VR or triples for that immersion, but I mean, like I told you before, winning that Xfinity championship, I mean, this is all on the curve. So, I mean, as long as I can kind of see up the right side and left side windows, I'm good. I'm set.
Gotcha. First time I did the 87s, I think it was either, I want to say it was racing at Kansas. The only way I could describe it is like you're on the edge of your seat the whole time driving. It reminded me, people ask how it was, and I says, well, it was like the time when you're 16 years old and you take your father's Pontiac Bonneville out for a drive the first time, and you get your license, you're going too fast, and you don't know how to stop.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
200 mile an hour yacht. 200 mile an hour land yacht,
yeah. It's the same thing. Those cars resemble this very much when it comes to tire wear. Maybe not as much as the tight side, but you definitely gotta hang on.
Oh yeah, you do. They're fun.
Yeah, you just gotta hang on and tire manage, and that's race the race. Don't race the driver. And then that's what you have to do.
Yeah, race the race instead of the driver. It sounds like road racing strategy there. Race the course instead of the driver. So, Jason, what are your plans for Las Vegas? How do you manage
the tires? Yeah, probably the same thing. I mean, for me, you know, I'm not really worried about short run speed really at all. I'll look and see, you know, what I'm going to do at the end of the run. You pay the price too much. Like you said, and there's a lot of the times there's no warning. And so if you punish those tires and then you go down there and get yawned out on the bumps and stuff, you already heated up. So not so we talk about the short run, but when it comes to at the end of the race, you know, by then everybody that's going to figure it out, but if you need not figure it out, whatever, that's when you'll find out who's got what. And that car is a lot of fun to drive from what I could tell just in the, on the plate stuff. So I can only imagine what it's going to be in Vegas. I've never driven it anywhere, but, I think flights are telling them what's a Daytona now. But I like the tire wear stuff.
Yeah. That was the last series where I was running in. Every track was sets of tires. And really had to, like you said, don't pay attention to what anybody else is doing, manage your tires and see the end. What do you have for monitor? Big screen triples or VR?
No, I use quads. I've got, I think it's 327, 329 inch curves. And then I've got the ultra wide up top, and that's where I use all my, I've got my temperature up there. I've got it to where I can see it, and I actually don't take my eyes off the screen. I've got the track map, standings, all that stuff's up on that screen. So, that's how I do it. Garrett and I got pretty much the same setup upstairs and downstairs. So if ever there's an issue, he can jump on my stuff and it's set up with what he's got. So that's how we set it up.
Good. Battle station.
What's that?
You got the battle station set up.
I'm going to say that, but it's because of the stuff that he does. He's got the stream deck and all that stuff downstairs. I don't have the stream deck up here, but it's more because of the coke stuff. If something was to happen, he's literally besides the seat. Being different, he could come upstairs in reality and jump on this and be able to be, I mean, it's everything the same besides the seat. So, and that's a good thing. I started on a single monitor eons ago. Obviously, nobody had triples back in the day.
Nope.
And, I don't know. I don't know how people, I guess you get accustomed to it, but looking left and looking right and all that stuff, it's just not me. You know, so I feel like anytime you look to the left, you drive to the left. And you look to the right, you pull to the right. And so, but there's obviously people that are better than I am. He's got the 49-inch curve. I think that's what Joe's runs as well. It really comes down because the way iRacing does it, it puts your window net is going to be in the same place most likely on that 49-inch curve that is mine. I've just got a larger area. But it wraps around like, so as I sit in the seat, it wraps around basically to the corner of the headrest on both sides. So that's the only difference between what I can tell in the ultra wide and then the, something having triples down. The quad monitor is nice for me because I like that stuff up there, but I don't look at it except for the temperatures. Everything else is a pit road thing, or if you're on a caution thing. And that's, I had it laying around, so we mounted them. That's why we put them on there.
Cool. Andy, you mentioned Battle Station. You ever, the triples and your fourth monitor there, ever want to do like a flight simulator or bombing runs? Another program?
That's cool.
I don't have the triple. I just have the single curved.
Oh, okay.
monitor. But yeah, I actually did download the late flight pavilion flight simulator because they put the Top Gun DLC on there.
Oh, and, wow.
Little background on me is I worked on the F-18 power plant when I was in the Marine Corps.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm kind of an F-18 homer. And so when they put the F-18 in the top in the flight sim, I kind of, you know, loaded into it, flew it around where my squadron was located. So I kind of had some fun with that one.
That's so good. Oh, how did you guys find Thunder to race in? Where did you come across them?
One of the money races is where I saw it. And then I decided to, because I normally don't do jump into a lot of races anymore, just time constraints. But I saw that and I said, you know what, let's do that. It seems fun. It's not a flat foot type of thing. It's not gridlocked all the time, so you can actually get some driving in it. And that's why I did it. And I feel like the longer we run this series, I've done one other series or two other series, and you got to know everybody, and the racing was really good. And I see the same thing happening here.
Cool. Randy, how did you get involved in Rolling Thunder?
So I actually got hooked up with Justin last year. So Ryan Johnson, I can't remember where he said he finished or where he's at, like 15th, 17th. I raced with him in what was a street stock league. Now it's a late model stock league. He approached me last year about running on Justin's team in this league called the SRN Series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started racing for Justin's team there, and then he let us know that he's like, hey, I'm going to start my own league once the Gen 4 thing, or actually, no, he was going to do the next gen, but then once the Gen 4 guys, or when the Arctic car got screwed up and because that was going to be a permanent fixture, he was like, nope, we're doing Gen 4. And so, yeah, I basically kind of been in cahoots, or not in cahoots, but I've kind of known about this league coming for a little while.
Cool. Well, good luck with the league, and it sounds like you guys are off to a really cool start. The money races definitely helped when I was running my series about 2.5-3 years ago. We had three leagues. We had Formula V, Crux, and Next Gen 6, and then Next Gen 7, however. And what really helped was running monthly money races for about 4 months ahead of time. It just worked in a league. Had a pretty good run before I turned it off. So definitely good luck with it. And I think the money race is going to be a huge draw because prizes that put up in are huge. Prize money.
Yeah, he does a really good job with just everything in general with the league. So what I've seen so far, and that's a big deal. You know, you got to have somebody that's actually promoting it in a and a positive banner, and that brings in people that you see that the promoter caring,
exactly.
And they want to be involved in it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm off in the winter because I've got a landscaping business. I was probably spending 20 to 30 hours a week on the league because I had the time. And it definitely does make a difference when it's involved. He's out there promoting it. It's just so easy to throw a league up and then after a couple of weeks, nobody's here, nobody wants to do anything and shut it down. But if you get a good support system and promoting it, getting the word out and showing some consistency and then some good prize money. A winner there. And speaking of money race, there's one on Thursday night. Coming Thursday night, Rolling Thunder Money Race this Thursday, October 5th, green flag at 7 p.m. Lobby opens at 6 p.m. Entry fee is $25. If you are a member of Rolling Thunder Racing Series, entry is $20. Prizes all the way back to like 10th place, but the top three prizes, here's some good money and a pretty good return on your investment. So first place is $300. Second place is $150. Third place is $100. So first is $300, second is $150, and third is $100 at Thursday night at Talladega. Requirements are class A and B license, I rating 15 plus. So there's going to be some good drivers out there. And for more information, you can go to Rolling Thunder Racing Discord. Rolling Racing Mentioned there. Probably give Justin a shout on Facebook. So they're heavily promoting the race, and those prizes are guaranteed. That's what Justin told me earlier. That's another thing. You get some money races, and you'll see on the fine print that, you know, the $10,000 first prize is based on 300 people entering the race.
So exactly.
This money Thursday night, it's a guaranteed prize fund. So there's no shenanigans going on there. If there's two cars in the race, so the money's guaranteed. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot more than that. So it's Thursday night at Talladega. Lobby opens at 6 p.m. Eastern. He's $25 for non-members. If you're a member of Rolling Thunder Racing Series, $20 gets you in the door and a chance to win $300, just $150 dollars. Further information, rollingthunderseries.com, or give a shout to Rolling Thunder Racing on Discord. Well, Randy and Jason, I want to say thanks for stopping by tonight. Definitely gave me some good tips on tire wear on big tracks, which I never really paid much attention to. So it's like that's definitely a good plan. I got to start working on my racing. I'm just an average Joe racer. If I finish in top 10, I'm happy. And if I think the top 5, I think I cheated and won. So,
hey, I feel that too sometimes.
Yeah.
Set your goals realistic. That's all I do. Anything else is a bonus.
You're definitely
run
right.
The race, run a clean race and have a decent finish. That's how I always try to. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one thing, I run strictly league races now. Occasionally I'll get in the Carburetor Cup, which might kill like a half an hour or something. But the difference in racing quality in a league, plus it becomes a community.
Does.
You get to be real friends with somebody in this other series that I do the cool down lap for. A bunch of them from all around the country got together at Bristol and met up, and said after the races and in between the races, they were on their laptops planning. It was a bunch of the admins that met, and they had like working meetings to get the next season going. And I'm like, well, if I were at Bristol, I think I would be drinking more beer and not worrying about a league, but that's how it goes sometimes. So, Randy Nichols and Jason Maines, congratulations on your P1 and 2 finish at Daytona, and good luck at Vegas this week. Race, good luck at that at Talladega.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Have a good night, guys. Good night. You're listening to the Burning Down Podcast. This is a brand new podcast we're doing on the Sim Racing Podcast. I've been your host, Greg Dreis. Join us next week on the Burn 'Em Down podcast when we will have results from Las Vegas. Hopefully you talk to some winners there or some drivers there, as well as maybe the winner of Thursday night's race. Want to watch the Burn 'Em Down podcast? We nights at 8 o'clock live on twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. And then right after that, video stays on for about 2 weeks. It's also immediately uploaded to YouTube. A couple upload issues with Spotify, but we got a way around that. So it will be on Spotify, and get the link to Justin and that out there, and we'll post it all over the place. So you watch or listen to the podcast on the website, as well as I think Discord. Other platforms you can catch it on include TuneIn, Google, Amazon, Apple Podcast, and coming next year will be on. More information on Rolling Thunder Racing Series, please visit RollingThunderRacingSeries.com. RollingThunderRacing.com. All the information there, all the great prize money. All the information on the money races, which are once a month. There's a big team race coming up soon. We're going to be talking about that as we get closer on the podcast. And have any questions, holler on Facebook or that. And again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And Greg Dreis for Burn 'Em Down Podcast, the podcast for Rolling Thunder Racing Series. Till then, drive safe, stay in your lane. that you on the track.